This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on! It's on! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it! He got it! He got it!
Welcome back to the program. Now that I got the funny husband story out of the way of how I made a mess this morning, I'm going to clean up that mess and have some fun with one of the men in charge of Full Press coverage. I haven't had him on for a year, and it's about time he came back to the program. This is Ian Glendon, and he joins me right now. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. There's no way it's been a year.
Is it? Yeah, last time I had you on, we were talking Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy. How about that?
We both have been very busy, to say the least.
Yeah.
We both have been very busy. All right. Now, there is a very selfish reason I brought him on this morning. And I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback for this part of the segment, but I don't care. It goes as follows. I don't like LeBron James, and you don't either.
I think that's how we first bonded, let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. It's how we first bonded. Now, I've had many a guest on this program over the course of six and a half years, and I've heard arguments for and against, but this man is with every argument against LeBron, for my hatred for LeBron, and it's pretty simple. I said that he was a fantastic athlete, but he ain't a good basketball player. Imagine the pushback I got from that statement.
It's like hurricane force winds, that type of pushback.
You've seen some of the stuff I put up. Why do people, I guess we can start here, why do people push back so hard when it comes to an accurate criticism of LeBron? I just need an answer to that.
Because we're living in a time where there's a very strong segment of people, a large segment of people rather. I'm 33, so I saw this, right before the half towards the tail end of Jordan's career. So
yeah.
I grew up watching Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Anyone my age to 42, 43, that's your guy.
Yep.
Well, the problem is, a lot of Twitter, a lot of these shows that are on TV now are kind of, the age range is kind of pushing the border of that. So you got guys that are around my age, but also younger that, lean LeBron. And, this isn't obviously a perfect science, but this is my estimation. This is how I look at it.
Yep.
So they have the loudest voice. So what do you see on TV? You see LeBron this, LeBron that, LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. You have Twitter accounts dedicated to propping up LeBron and completely ignoring everything else. And again, unfortunately, they're the ones that are the loudest because, I mean, there's not a big horde of 40-year-olds sitting at home on Twitter, pushing these like silly statistics and meme accounts. I mean, I'm sure there are. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't.
Right.
Just saying, majority of them come from the younger age group and they're going to skew towards LeBron. And, it's unfortunate because again, I feel like so much of it is so forced and not just not genuine.
More so on his part
because it's all, we always joke. It's always about him. It's always got to be about him. And you know what? He always somehow makes it about him, and it's always funny. So
it is funny, and one of his speeches, I guess you can call it that, after he received a finals MVP trophy, and he said, how about this kid from Akron who came from nothing? And all I could think of is, anytime MJ was awarded a finals MVP, one of the first people he gave credit to was Scottie Pippen. He always spoke of his teammates. He always spoke of his coaches. And I'll never forget one of the last times they were in the World Championship Series where he said, "We have a chance to defend what we have until we lose it." That, of course, was 1998. So different now. I mean, where's the humility? Where is that?
You know, it's non-existent. At this point, we shouldn't expect anything else from LeBron. And you know, look, this has always been about him. And look, I'm not going to say it's entirely his fault.
Right.
I mean, from such a young age, he was, you know, put on the spotlight. He's overcome so much from his childhood and everything like that. I'm not holding against him, and I admire him for that. I really do. Because again, you think back to when you were 16, 17 years old, not only, you know, if you were struggling or any point in your life, but think about the worst time in your life and put it on a kid's shoulders. And then on top of that, you know, have that kid be in the national spotlight for everyone to watch. You know, I'm not faulting him for that. But at a certain time, at a certain point, you got to realize, you got to read the room. You got to understand that, you know what, if you want to be as loved as you want to be, and, you know, he wants to be loved. He really does.
He does.
He needs it. If you want that, you got to humble yourself. And he's never been one to be humble. And you know, again, this is on top of, again, the disparity in skill, I believe, that exists between Jordan and LeBron. You add in his ability not to be humble, and then on top of that, the fans, the incessant, you know, want to make you bang your head up against the wall fans, and it makes everything worse. And then, of course, you know, you get the laundry list of characters out there, the Nick Wrights, the Jason McIntyres, you know, the now to an extent Shannon Sharp is now one of those, you know, tire pumping LeBron folks. So
he fell into the Bron sexual pie and has not come out.
Pretty much.
He's not come out. I always think of this when it comes to Nick Wright. He is one of the first big time radio hosts, if you want to call him that, that fell into the Bron sexual pie during 2017 and 2018. And he always seems to omit the fact that LeBron got cooked in the World Championship Series.
Mm-hmm. No, that's his MO. He says things and conveniently avoids others, and that's kind of what he does. He sprinkles percentages of the truth into his statements, and that's what his allure is. So he can sit there and say something very confidently, even though it's idiotic. I mean, that's his thing. You know, say something. You know, he can sit there and say, you know, the moon is made of cheese, Swiss cheese, you know, but say that so emphatically and so confidently on TV, it's like, oh wow, he sounds smart. Well, you do that, and then you sprinkle in like bacon bite of truth, you know. Yeah. So it's like a nice compliment. There's like little bits of it, but then you know he does the same thing with Tom Brady, you know.
Yeah, he does.
Anti Brady and pro LeBron. It's kind of the yin and the yang argument and mindset, if you will. So, I mean, that's what he does, and there's a market for it, sadly. I mean, that's the real kick in the, you know, groin area about it is, you know, people are drawn to it. And again, it's about the fan bases, it's about the demographic. And right now, unfortunately, I think that younger demographic is outweighing some of the old, and they're always the loudest too.
I went to work this morning. Came back home, and my wife looked at me, and she had this look of worry, and she said, "What happened?" I looked at her, and I said, "I fell into an argument with a LeBron fan," and she immediately starts laughing. She goes, did you destroy him with facts? I said, "Honey, I nearly couldn't get a word in edgewise. He had the shirt on, and folks, this is the illustration of the broad sexual fans that not only Ian and I talk about, but also Cole Johnson, a frequent guest on the show, talk about as well. He was decked from head to toe with LeBron gear. I mean, the Cavalier jersey, the Laker wristbands, the Miami Heat hat. And he looked at me and he says, it's all about LeBron and no one else. And I said, so you're just going to assume that the NBA started in 2003? His next response to me was, that's when LeBron came in and that's when he saved the league. So I got a little mad.
You know, I was going to say, conveniently, I'm pretty sure 2003 was when Shannon Sharp, this person you ran into, retired from the NFL. And of course, I guess that would mean then the NBA started them. So I guess it does kind of make sense, right?
I when he said that's when LeBron came in and saved the league, I got mad. And he saw the look on my face and he said, what's the matter? Don't like the truth? I said, so you're just going to skip over Kobe and Michael and Magic and Bird and everybody that preceded him. And he says, well, they did okay, but that's a past. That was the past. You need to get with the new era now. Sir, the problem is every player that I have named that preceded LeBron left their mark on the league. And LeBron has not. Needless to say, he wasn't happy with me after I made that statement.
He normalized losing, and that's the worst part about it.
Yes.
No, I'm serious. I am because like, you know, and it's funny because like the exact opposite, and we do this often because I think there are a lot of parallels to the two situations, but. You know, you can say the exact opposite is happening in the NFL where Tom Brady's normalized winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's become so common for him to win.
Yeah,
that
yes.
Folks have made it so that any player could have easily won six championships
right.
In that situation. And it's like when you think about that statement in and of itself, it's absurd.
It is absurd.
You know, it's like, wait a minute, you're assuming that, you know, player A can do what player B did, although what player B did is so far and above what any other player, you know, and it's the same thing with LeBron. It's like, but it's the opposite. It's like, okay,
yep.
It doesn't matter that he won six. He's gone to nine. Well, you know, there's other players in the history of this league that have gone to nine.
Mm-hmm.
Like the accumulation of championships isn't necessarily what makes Jordan the greatest. I mean,
right.
His 6-0 record is icing on every cake and every argument. And that's, and unfortunately, people will say, oh, well, it's not just the rings. Same phrase, it's not just the rings. Well, no, I mean, that's a big part of it, though.
Don't tell me
that anyone has ever played a sport not to win at the highest level. I mean, even as a kid, you want to win. You don't like to lose.
No.
And so what's the ultimate goal? Oh, to come as close to winning the most? No, you want to win. So, you know, ultimately championships are going to play a big role, but it's everything else that goes with it. It's the circumstances. It's how he did it and you know, what he did at North Carolina to kind of give you an idea of what he could be and what he became. And,
yeah.
and look, no one's saying that LeBron's not one of the all time greats to play this game. I mean,
absolutely.
He is. At some level he is, but to sit there and look past, you know, the vast history of this league, not just Jordan, but I mean, you mentioned a lot of the greats. I mean, the Kobe Bryant, the, you know, the Larry Bird, the Magic Johnson, so on and so forth, and just say, oh, you know what? We don't care that he's come up short in a lot of big moments. He's had to, you know, do all these things. He's still the greatest because he's bigger than the people, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I said this the other day, the difference between the two, Jordan and LeBron is, LeBron's doing this in the era where his biggest advantage is his size, you know, relative to his athleticism.
Yep.
I mean, that's not something you can necessarily teach. He's just a freakish athlete who, again, to his credit, figured out how to use it.
Yes.
And he's doing that in an era of the NBA, which isn't as, you know, tough around the edges. It's a lot softer.
It's the truth.
It's not meant as an insult. It is. Yeah, exactly. It is. Conversely, Michael Jordan, a bit smaller, you know, going up against, you know, we saw it in, I believe it was part two of the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the 86 Celtics, you know, guys that are all 7 foot, you know, you jam the lane, you get physical. And I'm not talking like little, you know, taps and
oh, no.
you know, little things like that. I'm talking like,
no.
you know, real hard physical basketball. And he was dominating that. So again, I'm not trying to take away this from LeBron. I'm putting things into perspective. And when people sit there and try to say, oh, well, MJ just played plumbers and all that. So
you know what?
So
that line right there, that line right there. And I've gotten that the most from Bron Sexual fans. A shout to Cole Johnson again for giving me that term. I got that so much from Bron Sexual fans. Well, who did Michael play against? Let's see. 1986, he played against 3 Hall of Famers. 1987 saw the same Hall of Famers. 88, he saw the beginning of the Bad Boys, and he and his teammates had to learn how to beat them, and it took them a few times. And it led me to this conclusion. One of the biggest differences that I see between Jordan and LeBron, Michael Jordan always had to go through a progression. The Chicago Bulls of the 80s and the 90s had to go through a progression. Meaning, there's an opponent that you have to figure out how to defeat. For Michael Jordan and the Bulls, it was the Bad Boy Detroit Pistons. And I'll take the Bulls and the Pistons in an Eastern Conference final from back in the 80s any day of the week over what we see now. Don't get it twisted. I was a born and raised Bulls fan from Chicago. Seen the Bad Boys. Seen what they do. Saw how they psychologically got into the Bulls' heads, got into Michael's heads, and made MJ and Scotty and Phil Jackson and the rest of the team put their heads together and figure out, okay, this is how we're going to beat them. You haven't seen that with LeBron in 17 years. I'm sorry to say that, Bron Sexual fans, but you haven't seen it.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because one of my pet peeves is you're hearing a lot, oh, well, LeBron ended the Celtics. Oh, no. Hold on. Hold on a second.
No.
Because he was the one who had to leave Cleveland because Cleveland wasn't good enough
right.
to beat the Celtics. And then he goes to Miami, and eventually he beats, what, the 33, 34, 35-year-old Kevin Garnett,
yep.
Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen at mm-hmm. the end of their effectiveness. No, they didn't end anything. They just happened to be the last team that triumvirate played.
Yep.
I mean, there's a difference. There isn't a, you know, they beat us so bad, you know, we had to rethink our lives and move on and all that. It was,
right.
look, we're getting old. This is about it. It's time to move on and, you know, where we're at. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a pet peeve of mine, because I'm like, no, he didn't end the Celtics. He ran with his tail between his legs, taking his jersey off in the last game and went to Miami and
mm-hmm.
fell wonderfully short of his own expectations. So.
I mean, go back to 2008, okay? Down mm-hmm. 3-2 after the worst performance ever in a game 5, talking East, 2010, I beg your pardon, East semifinals. Game 5, the Cavaliers got blown to smithereens on their home floor. You would think LeBron would have a little bit more competitive fire coming into game 6. And I'm sorry to say, you only saw it in parts. The Celtics picked mm-hmm. them. They picked him and the Cleveland Cavaliers apart.
Mm-hmm. No, and again, and people like to say, oh, well, you know, Jordan didn't win, blah, 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 blah. Well, again, highlighted once again in the documentary is, well, he also went 60-49 in back-to-back nights against the Celtics.
Yep.
You know, like yep. there's a difference between, you know, not winning and being, you know, doing everything that you could possibly do. And he obviously did that. And that's where the more differences arise, especially early on in their careers.
Oh, my Lord. Is there ever a difference? I mean, when MJ was playing, you saw probably the greatest era of basketball. I'm talking about from 1979 to 1998. 1979, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson entered the league and saved the NBA. Michael Jordan comes along in 1984. Julius Erving was in the league at that time. MJ and Julius had a couple of regular season battles, a couple in the Spectrum and a couple in Chicago Stadium. And then the Bulls figure it out. They get past the Bad Boys. And here's a pet peeve of mine. I think you'll agree with this sentiment. Everyone wants to say that the Bulls caught the Lakers when they were down and out, when they were injured. I hate to inform you of this, but the Lakers were the Western Conference champions in 1991, even though they did play shorthanded. That says a lot to me about that Laker franchise at that time. Portland had the number one seed in the West in 1991, and the Lakers picked them apart in six games. Don't go there with me.
No, I agree. I mean, again, you know, this is a sure tell sign that you really are don't know what you're talking about is when you bring up things like, oh, well, who did he play? They didn't play this person. They didn't play that. It's like, no, you're grasping at straws and straws that aren't there. I mean, because again, it's such a poor argument because you've completely gone away from what we're actually talking about. And that's who's better at basketball, who did more for their team. And it's clearly Michael. I mean,
yes.
I mean, just raw number wise, six championships to three. Again, it doesn't mean it's all about the championships because
exactly.
There's so much more to it. It's just not a championship count, but it has a big part in it, big factor.
It
in
does.
The overall argument.
It does. And here's another point before we go to a break. Here's another point that I have said several times over. I've said it on social media. You've caught this. Mike has caught this. Mike DeBate has caught this. And everyone who really follows basketball and does a deep dive like you and I do know this point. And it goes like this. I've mentioned the progression with MJ. We both have mentioned how many times he won the title and how many finals MVPs he has. One of the biggest pet peeves, if not the biggest, between the biggest differences, I beg your pardon, between LeBron and MJ, Michael learned to trust his teammates. And when he learned mm-hmm. to trust his teammates, it brought him championships.
Mm-hmm. No, and and that's the thing too. It doesn't mean he trusted every teammate. It just means that he was open and willing to work with guys when we've heard, you know, repeatedly that, you know, LeBron is difficult. And, you know, that takes away a lot of your success if you can't learn to if you can't learn to work through that and work with your teammates as opposed to just, you know, alienating them or making them feel like, okay, hey, you know, let me get the hell out of here. I don't want to be here.
Right.
And we've seen that a few times.
We've seen that quite a few times. And that's being nice about it. When the NBA does return, I'm sticking with my prediction that the Lakers will not escape the second round of the NBA playoffs, should it get that far. Hope it does. We'll keep you updated on everything that's going on there. Ian Glendon joining me. We're coming up against a break. When we come back, we'll talk some football, Tom Brady style. Back in a flash.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
1 second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Up to Kobe.
What a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Curry comes to the ball. Goes to the corner. Catches. Works up Pondexter. Fade away. Three. Short. Rebound space. Curry in the corner. Shoots. On the way. Got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores! Derek Fisher scores at the buzzer.
And it goes to Bird. Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It goes!
All right. It's win or lose. Game six for the Bulls. 10 seconds. And with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.